In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory.
So, beloved in Christ, these last 2 months, end of June and end of July, you know it's been a busy traveling period for me. Parish Life Conference and the Clergy Symposium, two big events that I did during that time. And just have to say that being in the presence of His Grace Bishop Anthony and all the Reverend Clergy of the Archdiocese has been refreshing and inspiring and very energizing for me. Bishop Anthony especially, you're going to be hearing me quote him a lot because he has a way of speaking. If you've never seen him, you should have seen all the priests when he addressed the symposium. They were scribbling down notes, trying to catch what he was saying. And every so often, he punctuates his sermon with this. The Orthodox equivalent of, can I get an amen? Because, you know, we don't shout that out in church, and you don't shout amen back. But when we feel blessed, when we're inspired, we stop and we do this. So I'm going to share one of his nuggets with you this morning, stealing it. Bishop Anthony said, he said this at the Parish Life Conference and he said at the symposium. He said, if God has a dictionary, now I love this because being a linguist and an English major, if God has a dictionary, the word hopeless does not appear in it. The word hopeless is nowhere to be found. So think about that. Think about the Apostle Peter. You know, we celebrated Peter and Paul at the end of June. And Peter, think about his life with Jesus. What's more heartbreaking in the Passion narratives than to read that passage where at one point Peter is telling Jesus, I will never leave you, Lord. And then to hear him betray Jesus 3 times after Jesus predicted it. And then to read that he went home and he wept bitterly. How heartbreaking is that? I know all of us can kind of relate to that. We feel we've betrayed not only a friend, but the Master, the Lord Jesus. Peter denied Jesus 3 times, and yet the Lord gave him a threefold opportunity to make that up. It's the end of the Gospel of John. Jesus asks Peter 3 times, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Do you love me, Peter? Feed my sheep, feed my lambs. So a threefold reversal of the 3 denials. There was hope for Peter. He was not lost. He betrayed the Master, the Lord. But he is one of the, if not the, chief disciples and apostles, and we remember him as such. So remember that about Peter. We see that in today's gospel as well, don't we? You know, more often than not, of course, we look up to the apostles, we look up to all the saints, and we try to emulate their lives and their piety. But when you read the New Testament, more often than not, especially with the 12, you find examples of what not to do, how not to speak, how not to be. And very often, they're corrected. Their thinking is corrected, and their ways are shown to be misguided. And we see that in the gospel today. Jesus comes down and he's on the mountain praying. And when he joins the disciples, it says there's a stormy tempest, right? And he tells them, have no fear, I am. Have no fear, I am. Now, I just want to say a little thing about I am because it's critical. It's critical to our faith. And most English translations of the Bible try to make it sound smooth and try to make it sound like today's English. So they don't like I am because I am what? Have no fear, Jesus says. I am. So it's often translated, as we heard read today, it is I. That sounds more like proper English, right? It is I. But Jesus is saying, I am, period. And that's a very important 2 words in our faith, Old Testament and New Testament. I am, period. the one who exists, the everlasting one. It's the letters we have over the halo of Jesus on all our icons, the ego emi, the one who is the existing one. This equates Jesus fully with the God of the Old Testament, the one who is, the Yahweh, the I am. So Jesus assures them, I am, have no fear. And Peter, in his weakness, asks, well, let me come on the water to you. And Jesus allows this. But we see that halfway through, Peter's mind wanders. And he starts to look at the storm. And he starts to be afraid. And he starts to sink. Right? He should have kept his eyes on the Master. Should have kept his focus on Jesus. The I am, period. And so Peter has to be pulled up. But he responds in such a beautiful way, doesn't he? Lord, help me. I'm sinking. Save me. That's the right response. But we see in the gospel kind of this example. This is what you don't do. Keep focused on the Lord, you know? Stay true to him. Don't betray him. But when you do, you respond in the proper way. Now, tomorrow in the church, we celebrate the Feast of Transfiguration, and that's yet another example where Peter, one of the three disciples, is kind of at the center. And in that story, we have the icon over here, really big one, on this north wall. Jesus goes up to the mountain. The three disciples go with him. Peter, James, and John. Jesus takes them. Now, on the mountain, it says that Jesus appears before them in a transfigured form. He appears before them in a vision of his divinity, his full divinity. This is the I am, you know, in its fullness. And the Gospels tell us that he looked white. He looked like a white that no bleach on earth could bleach something. It was a glow. It was a heavenly light. So Peter and the others fall down. They're blinded. And then Peter wakes up and he sees this. And he doesn't know what to say. Sometimes Peter talks without thinking. You don't know what to say, so you say something. So he tells Jesus, Lord, it's really good to be here. Why don't we build three temples, three booths? One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. That's the first mistake he makes. Peter equates Jesus with Moses and Elijah. Jesus is not one of three. You know, Jesus is having a conversation with these two. And tomorrow at the Liturgy for Transfiguration, we'll talk more about what that conversation is, why it happened. But for now, let's just say that after Peter said that, Moses and Elijah disappeared from the scene. And the voice of God was heard and said, this is my son. Listen to him. So God corrected Peter. It's not three temples. It's not three booths. It is Jesus, the one, the I am. Listen to him. Follow him. So the other flaw in Peter's thinking, and sometimes we can relate to this as Christians, he wanted to stay up on the mountain. He liked it up there, and he wanted to stay and, you know, build a house, build a temple. But the time was not appropriate for that. Jesus tells him, go down. You know, go down before me. You have to go out into the world. And what did Peter have to do? He had to preach. He had to be an eyewitness to this event. This didn't happen so that Peter can catch, you know, a fantastic view of heaven. That's what it was. It was a glimpse of Jesus in his full divinity, his full glory. But it didn't happen just to give him a little thrill. Listen to the Kentuckian today that we chanted for the feast. Listen to it tomorrow. It tells us very plainly that this event happened, that Jesus was transfigured in glory before his disciples and apostles, so that they would remember that when they saw him crucified. And they would know that his suffering was voluntary. Jesus' arrest, his crucifixion, his passion, it wasn't an accident that happened. It was something he willed, something he agreed to for us and for the salvation of the world. So there's hope for Peter, beloved in Christ. There's hope for him in the Gospels. Jesus loves him so much, he gives him three more chances to overturn the denial. Think about your own lives. Sometimes we feel hopeless. Sometimes we feel we're too far gone. Or we may think other people are too far gone and beyond saving. But that's not the case. Hopeless doesn't exist with God. Our God is the God of hope, the God who gives us hope. The only hope we have is in him. So it's not so much that we can do it. You know, we're hopeful because we're strong and we have courage and determination. It's because our God is good and he loves us. And when we realize this and look to him and only him, you know, when we don't, we get bogged down. When we focus on anything other than Jesus, our master, our salvation, our obedience to him, when we turn away from that and turn our attention somewhere else, we sink and we get bogged down in the mire of life and of sin. So look to him. Don't take your eyes off of him. Know that your hope as Christians is in Jesus and only Jesus. Peter was saved. Paul, a murderer of Christians and one who tried to stop this new movement, he persecuted them. He watched Stephen getting stoned and he approved of it. Paul is a great saint in our church. He's a foremost of the apostles. There is hope for them. There is hope for the most wretched sinners. There is hope, beloved in Christ, for you and I. Just put it in the right place. Put it all on Jesus, the I am, period. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.